Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways. A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bride does not believe in friendship. I don't allow them to compliment me back because I can't take a compliment.
I like your beard.
Shut up. I'm leaving right now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy hump day. Happy Wednesday. We are here. We are in a great mood before the storm comes tomorrow.
The calm before the storm.
Hopefully we will be here tomorrow unless the weather keeps us from doing that. But we're here live today. Jane Mettner, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you, my friend.
And Greg Bach, comedian, club owner, ZZ Top cover band impersonator. Do you like that one?
Which one of those is untrue? That's for the people to decide.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I had myself a cup of coffee.
A very full cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's very full. I don't know how to navigate a Keurig.
I was going to say, please don't spill that on your computer because
I'm good. I've separated both computers. We're good.
We're good.
But yeah, feeling good. Feeling fancy.
All right. Well, we have a wonderful show coming up today in the news hour. Coming up at 11:30, the drama. Who says politics isn't exciting? Who says politics isn't as dramatic as keeping up with the Kardashians? Because the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and the antics happening, not just of political operatives, but of judges, that is happening right now in the 6 days we have until the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary, is entertaining.
We should call them the juicy judiciary.
Ooh. How long were you sitting on that one?
It just came to me, literally.
Nice.
Wow. That's
the juicy. I'm going to change the banner on the live stream for the topic name for the next segment.
They're not going to wear robes. They're going to wear sweatpants that say juicy judiciary on the back.
the matching pink sweatsuits.
Oh, my gosh.
From
yes.
the 90s. Was
Please.
It 90s or 2000s-ish?
I think it was 2000-ish.
Yeah, there was like a Paris Hilton thing.
Annoying
circa
trend.
2003.
Oh, okay, Jane.
All right, so we're going to talk about that at 11:30. Then to round out the hour, we are going to what would be the most surprising thing that could happen at the budget message tonight, that after weeks of what's this thing's going to be in the budget and this thing's going to be in the budget, being the Governor Evers budget proposal, it is finally tonight when he will lay out everything that is in his proposal that will inevitably probably all get cut to the floor by the GOP. Yeah. But nevertheless, it is a chance to see what his priorities are and if he had a legislature that would work with him, some of the things that might get done. So we'll briefly touch on that. And there was a certain Republican lawmaker who said he wouldn't be surprised if Governor Evers showed up in a specific costume. And I want to know, what else would you be, what would surprise you tonight if it happened?
Honestly, if like during his speech, if the Republicans weren't giving him the credit he should be getting, like the claps and whatnot, he just stares at him and he just goes, and just eyes start to fire up and Oplander just appears. And he's like, "You'll give me the gosh darn respect I deserve. You hears me?"
I do. If he came dressed as a superhero, that would be something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. But to start off, this was actually news yesterday, but we did not talk about this really yesterday. It's been circulating of people knowing this was going to happen last week. It already broke. But Nikki Haley, rising star of the Republican Party, some might say, has joined the race for the 2024 presidential campaign. And so, just a brief, if you are unfamiliar with Nikki Haley, she is the daughter of Indian immigrants. She was South Carolina's first female and non-white governor when she was elected in 2010. She then served as former President Trump's UN ambassador for 2 years. And now she's the first Republican to challenge her former boss. Despite all of the chitter chatter about Ron DeSantis, She is the first person in the race. And let's play a little bit of her her candidacy video.
Republicans have lost the popular vote in 7 out of the last 8 presidential elections. That has to change. Joe Biden's record is abysmal, but that shouldn't come as a surprise. The Washington establishment has failed us over and over and over again. It's time for a new generation of leadership to rediscover fiscal responsibility, secure our border, and strengthen our country, our pride, and our purpose.
I kind of dig the music. The background music's kind of like...
It's peppy.
It's like Nickel Creek. But for racists.
So if you have opinions on Nikki Haley getting the race, we will take your calls and your texts. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96.
Party.
But to start off with, do either of you have immediate reactions to this first challenger to the former guy?
I mean, to the former guy.
Is
I
that
like
what
that.
We call him?
The former guy.
Among other things.
Things we can say the former guy on radio.
We can.
I am not surprised. They've been talking about Nikki Haley for quite a while now. And to quote the Joker in The Dark Knight, here we go. I think it'll be interesting to see how many candidates will end up being in there. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that she's in it. I mean, she's listening to the people reading her polls, and she's going to put her hat in the ring. And I want to see how Donald Trump approaches this.
And see, that's where my mind went to immediately, because I am a bad person, is what nickname will he use for her?
I mean,
it's got to be something, you know, derogatory, because that's who he is.
But I wonder, because I think the Trump's campaign did respond saying something, not disparaging, but it certainly wasn't awful. But I was listening to Up First this morning, kind of talking about, you know, what each side is saying. And I think, you know, Democrats are like, she's a flip-flopper, she's establishment. And I think, like so many, the trend we're seeing right now of so much of the Republican Party is kind of split, both in our state and nationally. But it's hard for me, because she has the record of in 2016, she was very vocally anti-Trump. And then she pretty quickly got a line.
Jump on board.
Once he won. And she's been this like middling figure that tries to like read the tea leaves on where she falls and all this stuff. And I just wonder if she got President Trump's blessing to run so that she, as a moderate Republican, can siphon off anyone who might be thinking Ron DeSantis is the guy.
I find it also interesting that you're referring to her as a moderate Republican.
I think that's what people consider her.
I mean, that, but in today's day and age, yeah, sure. Okay.
I mean, whether her actual work and policy has reflected that, especially as she's aligned herself with MAGA, with Trump and stuff like that. But as far as like what I would say her reputation is, is there's a lot of people, there's a lot of moderate Republicans who I think have liked her in the past.
Yeah, I also, but the thing, like for me though, is like the didn't like Trump now, you know, bows at the altar of Trump is not an exclusive club. I mean, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Chris Christie,
Elise Stefanik.
Yeah,
she like so publicly.
J.D. Vance.
He was not as public though.
No, he was.
Yes, he was.
He was a never Trumper on the stage.
With J.D. Vance, it was things that got unearthed as far as private messages
when
he was running for senator. But Elise Stefanik was already a congresswoman, and she was like part of the post-Mitt Romney, like, we need to reevaluate where we are as a party. And she was on the younger, obviously female side of, we need to broaden our message to people. And that obviously was not the way that the party went when Trump became the head guy.
Right.
And so, and then she just totally did an about face, and now is
I mean,
who she is.
That's just a big old room now filled with people who have thought like, oh, he's ridiculous, he's a clown. But now they're like, oh, we got to protect him for what? But yeah, I mean, if she called Trump to get permission or advice or his opinion, I'm wondering how he's going to use her, because he will. Like, he's absolutely going to use her. And, I mean, I don't know what nickname. The problem is every nickname I can think of are all based on her heritage, which are all, like, that would just be awful. I mean, I don't like Nikki Haley, but I don't want anyone making fun of her for her heritage.
No, but I'm thinking of Nasty Nikki. There's just some easy ones. And I think, Kristen, you make a good point. If he does not come up with a nasty moniker for her, then I am more inclined to believe that, because he attacks everybody.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't go after her, then something is up.
But I feel like the more people, just like 2016, the more people who jump into the 2024 race, the easier it will be for him to win the nomination.
Yeah. I mean, well.
I think through. No one took him seriously in 2016. But, and then one by one, people started dropping out. And in this situation, in so many of the polls, head to head, Trump versus DeSantis, there's a lot of people who like DeSantis.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of those people who like DeSantis and are kind of over Trump are the people who, as they get more options to choose between in a primary, that dilutes the vote for a DeSantis. And it leaves the people who still bow to the altar of Trump, who are not wavering, to get him it's not the majority, but enough of the vote to get through the primary.
I,
a minute.
Oh yeah, thank you very much. I think that with the passage of 4 or 5 years, I mean, first of all, look here, real quick. This is the last thing I'll say. Predictions: how many candidates do you think will be in the field for the Republican nomination before they start dropping out, like the height?
10.
Jane?
I'd agree. I'd go with 10.
I'm going to say 13.
Okay.
I'm going to say 13.
Should we write this down so we can all come back and brag about who was right? I guess you and I have the same one, so it'll just be us versus you. All right. If you have thoughts on predictions on 2024 or reactions to Nikki Haley getting in the ring, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. We will keep this conversation rolling when we return. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Somebody has broken out a satellite tube. Here is the news. Look very carefully. It may be you.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, February 15th. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And since it's Wednesday, Mr. Greg Bach is here, as always, as the Wednesday co-host. And we are taking your calls or your texts on reactions to Nikki Haley being the first other candidate besides former President Donald Trump to jump into the 2024 race, and also just predictions. How many people do you think are going to be also challenging the guy that is a little bit weaker than maybe he seemed coming out of his presidency?
But as you mentioned, when he first announced in 2016, everybody thought it was a joke.
Yeah. Do not, if we've learned anything, do not underestimate that man.
Yep.
We don't have to underestimate it, and I don't think we should, but there are a lot of factors that went into that, and I just feel like this will be a different race. With I think someone, if Ron DeSantis decides to run, I don't think he's going to back down until the last minute he has to.
Do you I mean, I think what's also interesting is like whom among the people who are going to run, who has a glass draw? Right? Like can Ron DeSantis, I mean, that's what's as yet to be seen. Like, can Ron DeSantis stand toe to toe with Trump? Because basically his strategy so far has been to avoid him.
Yes. Yeah.
To avoid talking about him, to avoid talking about a lot of the, besides the woke stuff, which, yeah, the stop woke law, is he hasn't really gone toe-to-toe. And so, I don't know. You said we have a text?
We do. Texter from the 262 checking in about Nikki Haley. She is a more palatable version of modern-day conservatives, someone who packages their message of intolerance and enriching the already rich in an easier-to-swallow pill.
The moderates. I think the problem with that's, I think texture from the 262, absolutely right. You got to make yourself shinier and new. And that's what she did. She like that ad with the music and then like, but coming just like Sarah Huckabee Sanders coming at you just like with real negative information, just real, just like, ugh, do you even like this country?
I will say I appreciate it as you talk, because I, unfortunately, and I hate that I do this, but to women, there's not that there's a ton of leaders that are women in the GOP that are, you know, high profile, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Nikki Haley being two of them. And I did think that as I was listening to Nikki Haley's ad, that at least it was a little bit more positive than that rebuttal or that response we heard last
Washington
week.
Washington has
Union.
Failed you.
Have some texts. We have some comments on the live stream. Joseph McClear, I could see 10 to 13 GOP candidates, but only 4 to 5 that will poll even at 2%. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think you asked the glass jaw question. I think Ron DeSantis has the glass jaw.
That's what I mean.
Because he frustrates easily. He does not take criticism. I just think about that time when he was going up to walk up to the podium with these kids behind him to talk about a bill, and these kids were wearing a mask, and he got like he yelled at them to take the masks off.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
He does not have a good temper, and Trump knows it, and Trump will exploit it. But here's a really quick question. We'll look at more text. Do you think Paul Ryan will jump in the game? Because Paul Ryan's been on. He's written a book. He's been on the shows. He's denounced Trump. He's talked about how we need a new strat. They need a new strategy. Does big old loser Paul Ryan make a go for it?
He is making way too much money being on the board of Fox. But on earth would he even bother?
Because
oh, you're right. Because he hasn't killed Social Security yet. That was the other big thing on his wish list.
Well, that is an interesting point. That if see, this is why politics is so fun.
It's better than sports sometimes.
If Trump were to win the nomination, would someone like, I don't think Paul Ryan, but would Liz Cheney run as an independent to sabotage him?
I'd give to her campaign if she did that.
and she would be tough.
Yeah.
I would love to see what they throw at her and how she would come back at them.
It's such a weird upside down world to be at a place where you're cheery, like for people like the three of us to be like, all right, Liz Cheney.
Do you want to get in the crosshairs literally of a man who shot a person in the face? No, you don't.
Someone who worked for him.
Yeah.
Like,
and he apologized.
Not an enemy.
And he apologized to Dick Cheney.
My face got in the way of your gun. Yeah. That was wrong of me.
This is obviously your fault, man. Yeah. One more text from Nick Baker on the live stream, which you can always find on As Goes Wisconsin, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Nick Baker says, how will Nikki Haley being in the game affect those considering running on the Democratic side? I mean,
I don't think anyone's going
to
run.
As long as Joe Biden, I don't think anyone's going to try to Joe Biden.
I mean, you could have some people. There can definitely be somebody who primaries him, but
you mean have to or
Would want to?
Would want to is different than does.
But I mean, I think that right now where we're at, Joe Biden's got that nomination locked up because nobody's making waves enough to be considered. No Democrats coming out against him in a big way to get noticed. So who is going to really try to primary him? Except for my thought is maybe like a very progressive candidate who is just doing it as I want to
Name recognition?
Name recognition. I want to get this stuff out there. I want Joe Biden to answer for where we think he's failed as a Democrat. So,
but you think about how the power of the party, of party politics, yeah, and how they would have absolute. I mean, it would have to be someone incredibly rich.
Incredibly, well, yeah, and it would have to be outside the scale. It would have to be like, it would have to be a business person who's saying, like, I'm going to put my hat in here. Because honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen the Democrats more united.
And that's where I was going to end it before we have to go to break and when we come back, because this, it's such a weird thing to see how on the state level and the national level, Republicans being in disarray versus how united Democrats look. So when we come back, we will talk about some of the sloppiness that is happening between conservatives in our state. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
To me, because I am the judge, and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to wonder square. I'm gonna lay down the law. They better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge.
I am the judge. I am not the judge. I am Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin. We got Jane Matinere and Mr. Greg Bach because it is Wednesday. And to wrap up the conversation we were having the first half part of this hour about Nikki Haley and predictions for 2024, what were some of the other comments that we're getting, Jane?
Texter from the 608, again, at 844-967-2789. I don't think DeSantis's concentrated message of hate and resentment isn't going to be as palatable without all of Trump's pomp and circumstance. He doesn't have Trump's X factor. The low information voters aren't going to love him like they love Trump. I think Ron's sauce is weak.
Ooh.
That was like poetry right there.
Oh, and a nice one for you, Greg, from the 414. I don't really like turning a politician's name into a joke, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders is awesome.
Thank you.
Do you have anything for MTG? We'll wait.
I'll think on that.
And then another texter says, Gavin, I'm assuming he's referring to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Gavin is the Democratic wild card.
I don't think Gavin's going to run until 2028. I think he's smart enough to know not to put his hat in the ring now.
I feel like he is enough when we talk about career politicians and people who play the game.
Yeah.
That I feel if the party is behind Joe Biden, I feel like it would take someone who doesn't care about risking their relationship with the party.
Yeah, if he runs, he destroys his career. He'll be the California governor forever until he's done. Then he'll be a guy. And also, Gavin Newsom comes with, I don't know, I feel like he comes with baggage.
He was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Yeah.
No, isn't that it's so such weird. A weird break-your-brain fact?
Even though he beat it, he was recalled as governor, which GOP can run on that,
yeah.
and Democrats would have to run on that too if he primaried. The Democrats would have to take time and money and energy to show you why Gavin Newsom isn't the right person to run for president, thus ending his ability to run in 2028 when the GOP was like, look at what all the Democrats said about him in 2024 when he ran against Biden in the primary. I think Gavin's too smart to run now. You know who could run though? Dianne Feinstein. Because she hates kids. You see that video of her talking down to kids?
What? That was a while ago, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it when they were protesting in the Capitol about environmental stuff?
Yeah, it was climate change, and she just got right in their face and said, like, you
get out of here.
Yeah,
get off my lawn.
Get out of there, kids. You bother me. You whippersnapper.
She's 89 years old. Anyway, just one thing about Gavin Newsom. There is an oily televangelist quality to him that I find disturbing.
Who do you like? Because I do want to get to this article because it's hilarious. But who do you like? Because I think that's kind of the open question. And this is not for 2024. I guess this is in general as far as the quote-unquote stars of the Democratic Party right now.
Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams.
Girl can't win in her own state, though.
Yeah, but she's up against hard odds in Georgia. I just feel like if she got on the national stage, I don't think she wants it, though, either. I don't think Stacey Abrams wants.
I don't know. I feel like
Gretchen Whitmer is like, a very good.
I like Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, me too.
I think she's incredibly smart. And what she's done for voter rights is incredible. But I just feel like it's kind of like, is Beto's time done?
Oh, I think Beto's done.
I mean, Beto's now three races in a row that he's lost.
That he wasn't able to put it over the finish line this last time breaks my heart.
And I find Beto to be incredible. I mean, I find him to be genuine, which is hard because sometimes he does cringy things. But I think they're cringy because they're so genuine sometimes. Yeah. And I think he does want what's best for Texas. And he believes in a lot of things he says. But as someone who just hasn't been able to get it over the line.
Yeah.
In his home state, and the same thing I kind of think with Stacey Abrams of compared to Gretchen Whitmer, who won so handedly. I mean, her numbers in this last election were as strong as Ron DeSantis's were in Florida.
Yeah,
right. As how handedly she
and
won.
Had the Michigan Democrats not won the entire state as far as like running the assembly and the Senate, I think you would have saw her as a much bigger story in that. But because they all won so handily, that was the big story. Those numbers getting drowned out kind of. But I like Gretchen Whitmer. I would vote for Gretchen Whitmer in a heartbeat. Stacey Abrams, for me, is a dream candidate. I don't think she wants it, though, because I know that there were rumors that she was on the short list to be the VP. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was like, thanks, no thanks. I'm going to take care of my state. Because I think that's where her heart is Georgia. She'll probably spend, if she doesn't run for public office.
She was born in Wisconsin, though. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
She was born in Madison.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Jeez, Colin Kaepernick and Oprah was born here.
Oprah was born here. Milwaukee. All right. Well, let's make a transition.
A good one, too.
A good transition. This was yesterday? Yeah. No, this was Monday. This was Monday that Daniel Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Great article.
The guy with the dirt on everyone.
The thorn in everyone's side.
And the truth is, I'm not sure what he, it's more of how he tells this story, because this is not unearthing anything that wasn't seemingly public knowledge. But reading this is like a scene from Mean Girls. It's like, it's the back and forth that is happening of the ugliness and the claws out of the two candidates and their camps, really. Because this goes beyond just conservative Judge Dan Kelly versus Judge Jennifer Doro. And so I'm going to take it piece by piece. And Jane and Greg, you can give your reactions to the story as it develops.
And send us your reactions too on the text line 844-967-2789.
So the name of the article from Daniel Bice, this is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, sparks fly in Wisconsin Supreme Court race after Jennifer Doro's sentence is overturned as too lenient. And can you guess what quintessential Wisconsin crime is at the core of this story?
I mean, I know what it is.
It's not cow tipping.
It's something you can do over and over again and not go to jail, apparently. That is drunk driving.
Yes. All right. So, all right. This is a social media brawl, if there's ever been one, when it comes to not just politicians, judges. The juicy judiciary. All right. So on February 1st, the District 2 Court of Appeals ruled that Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doro took it easy on a defendant convicted of drunken driving for the fifth time.
Not the first, the second, or the third, fifth.
And we learned from Jim Santel a couple weeks ago that this is how the courts work. Sometimes appellate courts look at rulings and send it back saying, try again. So Doro, who is currently running, as we've said, as a conservative candidate for the state Supreme Court, sentenced the individual to probation and 9 months of work release. But but the appellate court said the defendant should have gotten at least 1 year behind bars and probably the presumptive mandatory minimum of a year and a half in prison. So the appellate court, Judge Shelley Grogan, who wrote the decision, called Doro's sentence, quote, unlawful.
Dun, dun.
As Dan Bias says, ouch.
Yeah, that's, I forgot.
That. So the problem here, though, is that Judge Shelley Grogan is backing Dan Kelly.
Ruh-roh.
But talk radio darling, Mark Belling.
Captain Nasal.
Is backing Judge Jennifer Doro. So he has been considered one of her biggest cheerleaders, and he is a conservative talk show host, if you're not familiar. And he went on to attack Judge Shelley Grogan, and because of her
scolding.
And so in the article that he wrote on his website, Belling wrote that Grogan was calling local lawyers to mock Doro and crow about the appellate court ruling. Quote, did Grogan overturn Doro just so she could rip her? Is it ethical for an appellate judge to use her own ruling to score political points against another judge? No one really knows because no one can think of another appellate judge who has done it. So this is where it took a very, so this is, granted, I, you know, in Mark Belling's defense, which you probably would not hear me say very often, he does what we do. He is a talk show radio host who has skin in the game for who he wants to see in there and can tell his audience whatever he wants.
You are gesticulating madly here. This is wonderful.
Everyone who's watching the live stream can really get a
She's
show
doing
today.
The chicken.
But you would think that the people who are judges, where their position is supposed to be objective, at least in the public eye.
Yeah.
This is where things take a turn. So Doro's campaign told the Journal Sentinel last week that she would not be commenting on Grogan's ruling because the case had been sent back to Doro's court for resentencing. Then around noon on Sunday, so Super Bowl Sunday. No.
Yeah.
Was it this last Sunday? Yeah. Yeah. Doro's campaign posted Belling's entire online commentary on her Twitter page.
Wow.
This is a Thanksgiving dinner I did not get invited to.
So basically, they pulled out the quote from Belling's article that said, quote, state liberals clearly believe Doro is stronger than Kelly. They are running attack ads against Doro, but leaving Kelly alone.
Meanwhile, liberals are on the other side going, what did we do? We're just here beating, what are you doing?
Because there is no, in my view, so far as I understand campaigns and primaries and generals to go, why would liberals be meddling within the primary when they're just eating each other? Like, to me, this is so clearly a Dan Kelly camp versus Doro camp thing. And liberals are like,
it's that gif of the guy who sits back and just eating the popcorn. That's liberals right now.
It's John Stewart.
We're just eating the popcorn. Go on.
And why would they spend all their ammo before the real race?
Yeah. Exactly.
But it gets better, doesn't it?
So it gets better. 7 hours later, Grogan, the appellate court judge who quote unquote mocked Doro, took to her own Twitter to offer a rebuttal, an almost unheard of action by an appellate judge. Quote, three court of appeal judges unanimously reversed Judge Doro in State v. Sri Rikian. Grogan tweeted, Judges Grogan, Lazar, and Neubauer concluded Doro didn't follow the law and remanded for resentencing. The court decides cases based on the law, not politics, at Judge Doro, Wisconsin, at Mark Belling Show.
Ooh.
That gif is Bryan Cranston dropping a mic right there.
So, this is exactly, so this was Super Bowl Sunday, because then Vice writes, this is what you miss by watching the pregame of the Super Bowl. So, but, and I think it ends there, because then it starts to get into the actual case of the woman. I think it's Delafield.
Meanwhile, the lady is like, am I going to jail or not? What's going on here?
Is a 50-year-old, yes, Delafield resident who's been arrested for drunk driving for the fifth time. And my thing about getting arrested for drunk driving is that means that's only the times you were caught.
Correct.
And not how many times you're actually drinking and
yeah,
driving.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. But she told officers that she had been drinking wine, vodka, and tequila earlier in the day, and she had a blood alcohol level of 0.299, nearly four times the legal limit. And I feel like we now can go in two different directions, because I think there is a whole conversation to be had around drinking and driving, and I think the leniency that it is often showed. But if you have immediate reactions, we'll keep this on the other side, because it took a little longer than I thought to get through this story, but it's a wild story. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmy Lock for president. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I'm
with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You picking on the weaker man.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and Mr. Greg Bach is here.
I am here.
Because it's Wednesday. And we are continuing the conversation of the messiness that we only get six more days of, unfortunately, because unless something happens that would be wildly unexpected.
Crazy wild.
I do not see either Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell getting through next week's primary, or Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro getting through next week's primary. It's probably going to be one from each side of the aisle. So we only get six more days of this messiness that is happening between the conservative camps in this otherwise nonpartisan race. But we are reading some of your texts of people who also have thoughts on the Dan Bice story printed this week.
Again, 844-967-2789 is the number to call and or text from the 262. While Doro might have handled herself well in a courtroom in Waukesha with a parade of tackers, she's showing she's out of her league being on a big stage and under a microscope. She apparently has no discernible qualities needed to run a race like this.
That's what I said 2 weeks ago to the gentleman from, remind me of his name, the professor.
Jim Santel?
Yes. I said, you know, someone just grabbed her by the cape, threw her in the race like, you're running.
I mean, Dan Kelly is the one who wears a cape, but whatever.
I'm sorry, the robe. I was going to say cape.
He does wear a cape, though.
Oh, my God. We're doomed.
And then we had Joseph McClear also said, cripes, if the statutes lay out a mandatory minimum for a charge and the sentencing judge goes below that minimum, that sentence is unlawful by definition. There's no political bombs being lobbed when an appellate judge overturns such a sentence and sends it back for resentencing.
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, Mr. McClear. I'm saying that right here. I think the big thing for us, though, right now is the fact that it became a public outcry on talk radio. And the fact, I don't think that judges should be allowed to have Twitter accounts. They should not be. This is not, to me, if I'm the lady who's arrested, I would go to my lawyer and be like, this became a public thing, and I'm a puppet in an election now, so I would like the case dropped, because there's a lawyer who would take that on. I know that. There's 10,000.
Gruber would take that.
When he pays us $1 for this show, we can start saying what cases he will and will not take. But yeah, I think making hay out of this story between two judges and a very popular talk show host, does she have grounds to have the case thrown out? Because, like, I don't know. I just don't think judges' campaigns can have Twitters because they got a campaign. But I don't think judges should be saying anything. And she doesn't do herself justice by saying anything out loud. Let it be. If you were confident in the ruling, make the ruling, throw it back down to Doro, and shut up about it.
No, I agree. I just, I do agree that judges shouldn't be on Twitter because it's kind of weird. But it's all, has there been, Jane, I don't know how much you followed it, but as far as the different conservative talk show hosts, has anyone been as outspoken about either candidate as Mark Belling is going to bat for Doro?
I don't think quite that outspoken.
Because it was interesting when we had Dan Schaefer here last week, who's been following all of this closely, that it's kind of, there's camps again, right? Like in the same way that we saw a Michaels camp and a Clayfish camp in the midterms, that there's now these camps of Doro versus Kelly and like the media, the conservative media, like where is Wisconsin right now? Who I know they were very much in the Clayfish camp. So I haven't followed them enough to be like, where are all these allegiances falling? And it still just goes back to what we talked about last week, which is the establishment media being the Cap Times, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Like clearly they have not taken a side on this because that is not their job.
Right.
Which is the telltale sign between shows like this, shows like Mark Belling, outlets like Wisconsin Right Now that have an agenda versus telling you the news. So it's just a reminder there. But Joseph's back with, I might agree with the judges shouldn't be on Twitter idea. But then again, I might one day have a case before that judge. So allow me to say on here that she can do whatever she wants.
Very, very judicious Mr. McClear.
Good man.
Very wise.
Guy who knows how to navigate a court.
I brought you an apple, Judge.
But yes, so I will be sad when this is over. That's all I have to say as far as watching this this infighting. But I also have no, Marquette Law School polling hasn't done anything. As far as if you think about in the lead up to the midterms, I feel like every month we were getting a new poll as far as who was polling which way between Evers for the governor's race and the Senate race.
But how interested are they in a judicial primary?
But this is I feel like this is a unique primary.
I think they're going to get more into it after the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when they're going to throw the money into the polling because that's where
I'm sure the campaigns are doing polling,
oh, yeah,
but as far
yeah.
as the public polling as far as for us to go back and look at it.
And this is a good point to remind folks, you want to go vote next Tuesday?
Yes. Or you can vote now.
Yep.
I mean, you can vote now. Many places, Milwaukee, Madison, early voting has already started. It's always hard to give voting advice in this state because each community is a little different, but you can go to myvote.wi.gov and find out if the early voting is in your area. Also where your polling place is, what's on your ballot. If you don't know what else is down ballot for the primary, if there's a mayoral race, if there is common council or city council, aldermanic races. So check that out. Make a plan to vote between now and 8 p.m. next Tuesday, February 21st. And that will round out the first hour of As Goes Wisconsin. When we come back, I'm so excited to talk about this meaty story because it is. It's meaty.
Sorry.
You don't like that word?
It's a juicy, meaty story. Go on. That's fine. No, it's fine.
It's about a Bitcoin or like a cryptocurrency like mine that was taken over in a old paper mill, which are all across Wisconsin. And it's a conversation. It's a story about cryptocurrency and its validity, about what to do with all these empty manufacturing and paper mill buildings, and also about migrant workers and how they're treated. Like, there's so much here. We are going to be talking to the authors of that investigative report when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned. Down that road, and you don't know what you don't know. Someday I'll be living in a big old city.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.